All right, so the brothers and I were talking today about, I don't know, even this isn't an official teaching topic. It's more of just a subject we want to talk about. I don't even know how to label it. Pretty much something along the lines of the parameters by which newer, younger believers should be able to rebuke and correct, especially when it comes to pastors, elders, whether it be older or younger. So that's like my long title for this. And so I want to talk about this because it's important to keep the order that God has for his body. And we have not a lot of scriptures that give us precise parameters like you can do this here, don't do this here, don't do this here. But we have some general guidelines. And I guess I would just start out by saying this audio is aimed at younger, newer believers that are doing ministry, street ministry. And they find themselves in situations where they run into a modern pastor or an elder or an older man that's real strong in the faith and wants to speak out about his faith. And what is the parameters? What's proper? How should they do it? How should they witness to them? What's crossing the line? What's not crossing the line? And I think the first thing I want to say is the Bible gives us parameters about respecting certain things. And I'll go so far as to say, the Bible actually tells us to respect even worldly authority. Like Peter says, honor the king. And if you think about that, kings were often wicked, violent, ruthless, injustice, or non-justice following men, if that's a word. And Peter says, honor them. So like I'm in America, we have a president of the United States. Joe Biden is a Catholic, worldly, baby butchering, LGBT approving man that I disagree with just about everything when it comes to truth and theology and spiritual things, but I honor the office. I'm told to by the Bible. And if I met him, I would actually respect him respect the office by respecting him, and my rebuke for him would be accordingly. And so on that thought, footnote, let's talk about this, brothers. What do you think of this topic?
I think it's an interesting one, something to consider and talk about, because I guess there's different ways. It's more one of those that's wisdom and discernment and situation-led versus just dogmatic one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, like I said, there is some principles here, though. What do you think, Brother Cole? Think it's a good topic?
Yeah, I think this is a good topic because it comes down to, like, it does come down to, like, respecting, basically, authority. Even if we don't agree with authority on truth or anything, the Lord allows certain authorities to be in place, and we have to respect, I suppose, that authority.
Yeah, like the example I just gave with the king.
Yeah.
And so I think let's start at like baseline. So for newer believers, and I think we were talking about this, it's not a biblical mandate, but I think a good rule of thumb for like when you think about newer believers is like, when you think about somebody that's been in the faith 5 years or less, a lot of people would say that's kind of a good baseline. And I'm really just basing that off of more like life experience. Like if you're a plumber and you've only been a plumber 5 years, or I should say when you get to be a plumber and you've been a plumber 5 years, people go, hey, he's been a plumber for 5 years. You're a mechanic. A man's a doctor. And people go, well, he's only been a doctor for a year. He's still new at it. He'd been a doctor for how long? 3 years. Oh, well, that's not long. And people seem to look at 5 years like, we'll use marriage as an example. Brother Zealous and I were talking about, there's no set standard, but a lot of people look at like you're a newlywed till you've been married about 5 years. and 5 years starts putting you over the newlywed hump. So let's talk. Let's use that parameter of the word novice. It's in the Bible, where Paul talks about novices aren't to be teachers or elders, lest they be puffed up in pride. So aiming at newer believers, a lot of people don't like that word novice. It just means newer. It's like the word tunic. It just means a long untucked shirt. Get over it. Novice, tunic, whatever. What does it mean? It means a newer believer. So what we want to talk about is when you're out doing street ministry, witnessing the gospel, and you run into an older man that might be real vocal in the faith, or an elder that's in a body of believers, or a modern pastor. And I think it covers, we have to cover that age and function. So let's talk about function. In Ephesians 4, it tells us that there are functions. I don't like the word position and titles, but there are functions. And it gives us one called a pastor. Ephesians 4. Now, I get it. The modern pastor role is not biblical today. I get it. A pastor is really a man that's in a body that overlooks people, and it's a function that he does. There could be multiple pastors in a body. But still, it is a function of God. I think that is due some respect just for that function. Would you brothers agree?
I'm going to say yes, but I'd like to talk about that.
Yeah. So just like the president, he's a wicked, wicked man, but he's the president, and we're told to honor the king. It means we obey what he tells us to do that isn't against God. Do you guys remember Paul when he's going before the council and he ends up standing before the high priest? Do you remember this account? And
yeah.
And who's the high priest? The Pharisees, the Antichrist. And Paul ends up going against him. And then what does Paul do, Brother Zelos?
He said, well, the high priest commanded him to be smitten. And then Paul said, God will smite you too, you whitewashed wall. And then the guard said, you speak to the high priest like that. And Paul said, I didn't know he was the high priest. It's written, you shouldn't curse the ruler of your people.
Yep.
Just paraphrasing.
Yep. So there you go. So that man was not a biblical godly man by any way, but Paul honored his position, honored his function. So I think we can have that same mindset with a pastor. Even though you know that he may be a Baptist, they're ungodly, they're unbiblical, you're going to give respect to a function that God's ordained. So that's the first rule of thumb, and I think that's biblical. And if you said you want to talk about that, so what would you say about that? Because Peter tells us to obey those that rule over us. So a pastor could be a man that has authority over others if he's an older man and he's sound in the faith, or like an elder. He could be a man that would rule over someone that's younger. So the Bible talks about obey those who rule over you. I know the context is in the true New Testament body, so you're not going to obey that man to go into sin. But I still say, if we're to honor the king, if we're to honor Caesar by paying taxes, if we're to honor that high priest, we should honor the function that God ordained.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I guess my question is, I'm just phrasing this as a question because I was pondering it all day. The worldly, earthly government authorities were ordained by God to be, and were commanded to give them. The modern pastors and elders, if they're part of a body that's not biblical, they're teaching a bunch of heresy, they're living in a bunch of sin, and they're deceiving people's souls with lies and false ways. Can we give them the honor due, and more what the Bible calls us to honor would be a biblical pastor? They're completely unbiblical. They're more like a wolf than a pastor.
Yeah.
Because a pastor means shepherd.
I guess
my question kind of takes that side of, like, how do we discern there?
Yeah, I think when we talk about honoring them, I'm talking about the function, not the man. And I'm going to tie it together with the newer believer, the novice believer. And I'm going to throw another thing in there. Age. Age makes a difference, both your age and their age. And I think you got to compile all these things together. And I should put some background to this. This all kind of came about. I've been thinking about it more because Brother Zealous is on the road with me and we're doing ministry together. So that's together. And that's different for me recently doing that with him and I doing that together. And then we did a candlelight Christmas preach where the pastor was like 32, probably, I'm guessing, a young man. And he had some other young men that age or less come out. And the pastor did not give any respect towards me, an older man coming, bringing the gospel, preaching Christ, lifting up the truth, bringing them correction. They in no way showed any respect whatsoever, just for an older man. And what got worse is, after I sent them away, we talked for 11 minutes and it went okay, but then I said, "This is, we're done, you're trampling the word of God. Go back to your pagan thing, we're going to street preach." Then the pastor stood by and allowed those men to get in my face, to come, to mock, and he just stood there smirking. And I told Brother Kuo, if he was an older man, he would have went to them and said, "Guys, why are we doing this? Those people said leave them alone. They're not in our event. They're not bothering us. Leave them be. Let's go do our thing." But the young guy was getting a kick out of the fleshly guys, getting in the old guy's face and all this kind of stuff. And Brother Zealous made the comment that the one guy that was trying to refute me the most, this what really hit me, is a guitar player. His ministry is lead guitar, and he's trying to tell the street preacher and the Bible teacher that's twice his age about theology as he lives in a worldly carnal body. So that's what kind of brought this all about. They were totally disrespectful to God's truth, God's order, God's way. And so I think you got to throw, it's like a trifecta here, or a three-way thing here. You got to throw a position in or a function, the person's age you're dealing with, and your age and experience. And I think you got to weigh all three of those, and then you got to say, what should I be doing in this situation? And what I would say, and so you could test this, well, let's go here. Let's go to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Paul's talking about young Timothy, and he tells him to teach and rebuke and correct and exhort with all, and make full proof of his ministry and do all these things. Timothy was a young believer. We don't know how young. I'm going to guess he was in his 20s. I'm just guessing. He could have been in his 30s. I don't know. But I'm going to guess he's in his 20s, like you guys. Well, who is Timothy? Timothy is not a guy that rolled off the street 2 years ago out of the Samarians and he was worshiping false gods. His whole life was raised in Torah. He was a John the Baptist kind of guy, raised up by godly women, grandparents, or I don't know what his father's situation was, raised up by mother and grandmother in Torah. So he's got the foundation of Torah, and then he's got the training of Paul. Pretty nice credentials to have. He's got the backing of Paul. Pretty nice credentials to have. And then, what's his position or his function? And so as young men, when you think about going to religious places, and we'll talk about that, and standing up against older elders and pastors, and you say, "Oh, Timothy was young, he was doing that." What was Timothy doing? We have no evidence that Timothy ever went out to the synagogues or went out and rebuked other people, other men in that way as a young man. Timothy was acting as an overseer in the body. So he would have been rebuking, correcting, exhorting, encouraging, and teaching the true saints in the body. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. So he would have more standing if people in the body that are entering it or joining it or whatever, and they're saying, "Oh, Apostle Paul has trained and handpicked Timothy to be an overseer. Yeah, he's a young guy, but he's been trained in the scriptures. He's solid. He's not out rebuking Pharisees, and he's not even out doing evangelism, traveling that we know. I guess he did travel with Paul a few times, but he was mostly an overseer. So we can't use Timothy as an example of a young man going out and doing what Paul was doing. Paul was an older man, trained, called by Jesus to go out and do what he was doing. So I'll go back to that. It's threefold. Who are you dealing with? Who are you dealing with? What's his function? What's his age? What's your age? And I think you got to look at those. And then I believe, based upon good wisdom and the idea that we're supposed to be blameless, because we're all united in ministry, so one guy sins, we all look bad. We've got to temper how we deal with people based on that. And we could talk about that. So any thoughts up to this point?
I agree with the wisdom, and the novices, newer believers, don't have the standing that an older, more seasoned believer with a track record has. That's why novices shouldn't be elders in the body. I guess it's still the question that maybe you could help explain it for me. This is the one I'm thinking about, is the Pharisees didn't claim Christ. They were anti-Christ, so they were kind of like dealing with a Muslim versus a Christian. I guess Paul and Timothy really didn't have what we have today, so it's kind of a new situation that we have to discern proper, where you have pastors that claim Christ that are in a bunch of heresy and false ways that we're standing against.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess my question is kind of like, if they're that unbiblical, they're biblically, they're actually not pastors, they're wolves, thieves and robbers that come to steal and destroy people's souls. Does the function they have at all line up with the biblical function of a pastor that you're talking about honoring?
Well, actually, it does. I mean, it actually does. I mean, the modern pastor... Hold on. A guy got off of work today, and he wanted to call me in Bible study, and he didn't call me early enough, so I didn't tell him I'd be in line. I just declined it. I want to stay focused here. Actually, the modern pastor role, the pastor role that we see today does have biblical grounds for it. It's a man who teaches the word or is in the word and oversees people in a Christian body using the Bible proclaiming Christ. If you lay that over it, you got your Baptist and you got the other ones. If you lay that over it, it is what God ordained. They've corrupted some of it, but it is what God ordained. And so when I'm talking about honoring them, or not honoring them, honoring that position, it's because what they're doing, God has established that to be done. How they're doing it, no. But God established it to be done. So I think you got to have some respect for that function. And then when it comes to, well, they're a wolf, they're a false teacher. Okay, but here's the problem. When you say that they're a wolf and a false teacher, when you're going to correct somebody, that means you are now like teaching them, basically. You're taking authority over them to teach them, rebuke them. Now you have to ask yourself, do I have the standing to do that? In what form? And I think you got to look at each one of your positions and go, how long have I been a believer? And if that pastor turns around and says to me, hey, I've been a believer for 20 years, and... how long you been a believer? And you tell them your testimony. I think you have to look at that and go, do I have a standing? Even for a worldly, false teaching, modern pastor, the Bible says novices aren't supposed to teach. They're going to pull that out of the Bible, and they're going to go, you're not supposed to be teaching anybody. You're a brand new believer. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
I get that.
Right, so let me give you an example of a man who was in a false group 2 years ago, and he admits that he had to get a lot of things in his own life, in his own house, in order, and it's on the internet, it's on his website, and the modern pastor goes and sees that, and then goes, let me get this straight. 2 years ago, you were in a cult, and you've had a lot of struggles coming out, and you're just getting things in order, and now you're out rebuking and teaching me. Is that biblical? They're going to pull that on you. It's kind of like if you show up with your wife not head covered. You show up with your wife not head covered, and you show up to a Mennonite place that's worldly and wicked, they're going to go, your wife's head isn't even covered, and you're trying to tell us the truth? Go away, young man. Get out of here. So you gotta consider, do you have the standing to even vehemently, boldly rebuke and teach an older man that's got a position that God has ordained? God did ordain pastors. God did ordain elders. Maybe not him, but God did ordain them. do you have standing, does a man have standing as a new novice believer that is just coming out of some sins and false ways himself? And I'm saying, no, you don't. Now, let's talk about what that means. Well, first of all, let's talk about that. Do you understand why I'm saying that? You actually don't have grounds to do a bold rebuke against an older man that's got a position that God ordained. I just don't think that's appropriate. I don't think it's blameless.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Okay, so...
maybe Brother Cole can share his thoughts. I agree with you. I guess the question I was tossing in there for clarification is the rightly discerning, because that was the first question that popped into my mind about why should we honor the function if they are not biblical?
Because it's a godly function. Because it's a godly function. Wait.
They're just completely corrupting it.
Yeah, wait. Why should I honor Joe Biden? Why should you honor your Canadian leader?
Yeah, but that's worldly authority. I think
that's the Bible. Wait, brother. The Bible still tells you to honor them.
I know, but that's worldly authority versus someone who claims Christ.
But that doesn't matter. That doesn't.
We don't judge those that are without.
I know, brother.
I guess was my point.
But brother, your parameters by which you can teach and what you should do doesn't change based upon the person.
Yeah, I get that.
So why do you keep saying, well, they're worldly, they're wolves, or they're this or that? That doesn't change what you can do with them, brother.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't change. So don't focus on them. Hold on, brother. Don't focus on them and their wolves and they're not biblical and all that. I get that. That still doesn't change. Let me tell you a quick story, and I told it to you today. I want to do it today for the audio. My wife's sister, Amen, I told Brother Kuo, she can do something very biblical and say something very biblical and be dead wrong. And you look at it and go, what? She could say something really biblical and be dead wrong. If she's not careful in the street, she can go too far with men teaching, rebuking, correcting. And what she tells them is exactly true. You're a wolf. You're a false teacher. You're a Catholic priest. You're a heretic. You're damning people's souls. You better repent, pal, because that what she's saying is biblical. Does she have the authority to do that?
No.
No. So that is my focus is what is, don't look at the people. Look at what our authority is. This whole thing should be really, maybe I didn't title it right. It's not really a teaching. It's just a discussion. But what's our authority? What are we under and how do we operate? Brother Kuo, you had a thought.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of clicking in my mind. I understand what Brother Zelitz is saying. It's like, if it doesn't line up with the scripture in terms of being a biblical pastor, why should we respect it? Because technically they're outside of what God has ordained. But I see Brother Tupos's point, and I think it makes a lot of sense. They would just be, in that sense, if they're leading a group of people under the Bible, teaching out of the Bible, even if they are twisting it, they would be a false pastor. They wouldn't be like a, they wouldn't be just, we'd still respect the office of a pastor that God has ordained. It's just they would be a false pastor.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. And it doesn't give us the, just be ready. Let me say it this way. Just because he's not biblical doesn't give you the right to become unbiblical and go outside your authority line. Because then you're as bad as he is. Like if Sister Amin gets really mad at a man and wants to rebuke the snot out of him, I'm just going to tell him what I feel like. The guy's going to go, wow, I didn't think women are supposed to teach and rebuke men, huh? She's going to go, oh. He just threw it right back in her lap and it looks really bad. And I don't look blameless anymore. Because they're going to go, he can't even control his wife. Get out of here. Go away. Go work on your own house, pal. So I think the position, well, I don't like the word position. Let's try to agree, and this is like another separate thing. I hate it when they call them titles, not a title, pastor two posts. No. Position, I don't even like that. I really want to train myself to use the word function. It's a function. An elder's a function.
I prefer the word function.
A pastor's a function. A mother's a function. A husband's a function. They're functions. They're not husband zealous. You know, that's just kind of silly.
function is because, like, these are things we do. It's not who we are. It's what we
do. So let's get past that one. So I think you have to have some semblance of reverence for what God ordained in the function. Then you got to look at, and at the bare bones, you got to say, am I qualified to be bringing rebuke, strong, harsh rebuke? Now, I want to say that. Strong, harsh rebuke to an older man or any man that is claiming to be a pastor and it's about doctrine. Do I have a standing? Every man has to go and test himself and go, what's my testimony? How long has it been since I've come out of sin and false ways? How long has it been since I came out of false religion? Every man's got to do that and go test himself and go, do I have standing to do this? Will this be strong? Will this look good? Is this biblical? Am I still a novice? And if you look at yourself and you go, yeah, I still am. I came out of false ways not long ago. Then I think you got to learn to temper your rebuke for men, older men, whether they're in pastors and elders or not, older men, because the Bible does talk about, and let's talk about that, older men respecting older men, respecting elders, older men, elders. That's kind of all through God's word. We agree?
Yes.
Okay, so I would never want any of my young brothers I know to be doing what these guys I deal with. Yeah, oh yeah, dude. I could be their grandfather, and they're calling me dude, treating me like I'm the 18-year-old down the street. Whether or not we agree on theology, that is one thing, and that is called disrespectful. I wouldn't even disrespect a Muslim man and call him dude. Okay? He's a creation of God, made in God's image. Right there, that should give us enough reverence to go, this is a creation of God here. And we're supposed to love our enemies, and I'm going to give honor to my Creator by treating people the way I would like to be treated. That's what the Bible talks about. And so I think you have to think of their age and realize that you don't really have too much of a standing as a newer believer to be rebuking harshly older men or elders or pastors. And when I say rebuking harshly, I mean, you've heard me do it. Lowering the hammer, you know, if they're talking over you, raising your voice, strongly rebuking them. Yeah, you're a wolf. You're deceiving people. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'm done with this conversation. You better repent or you're going to lose your soul. I'm going to put you on the internet. I'm going to rebuke you and expose you, pal. And you walk away. I don't think a novice person has that authority to do that. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, having said that, that doesn't mean you walk away and go, I'm sorry, sir, I can't say anything. No. What do we tell our women to do? Who do they get behind?
Their authority.
Right. So, God, Christ, man, woman, children. So, everybody's got to get in their authority line. As soon as you get out of your authority line, your life and your house is a mess. So, look at what God established in the body, an authority line. And then when you go forth, when my wife does ministry, she's always getting behind her authority, which is, well, Christ is her ultimate authority. But when we're in the street, she's working kind of under my authority as her husband. And so she's always acquiescing to me. And this is where if she uses her authority right, she can go a long way. Because she can stand in the street and she can be talking to somebody while I'm busy, or maybe we're out of eyesight, which rarely ever happens, but sometimes safe places it is. Or she goes in a store, and she can literally say stuff like this. Well, here's our gospel card, and the guy reads it. Oh, no, you guys are all wrong. No, no, no. Once saved, always saved is legitimate. And if she thinks I'm not going to get there, Sister Amin will say, well, you know what? My husband would tell you, and he teaches on his website, that once saved, always saved is absolute heresy. We have all kinds of articles on it. Do you see what she just did? She just echoed what I would say, basically being a mouthpiece, getting behind her authority, and the guy can't say, oh, you teaching me? She's going to go, no, I told you. What my husband would say, he's right outside. You want to go talk to him? You see how she's getting behind her authority, and it gives her the ability to do even more. And if the guy gets really snotty, she's done this before, I think at the farmer's market last time, the guy was kind of getting her face, calling her a Pharisee, and she looked at him and she said, why don't you be a man and go talk to my husband? He's right there. And she sent him off and rebuked him kind of to her authority. So that's kind of a guideline. All of us should refer to our authority. So when it comes to being a newer believer, you meet a pastor, old, young, whatever, you know he's unbiblical, you don't just send him on his way and not say nothing. We're not saying that. But you don't rebuke him like an older man that's been in the faith a long time would, like his equal, basically. We're talking about equal in age and in position or whatever, in experience. You would say to him, you know what, sir? And this is where you get behind your authority. Say, you know what? Say, in our body, my older brother, Tupos, he would tell you, and we study, and the Word of God, you teach a false gospel. And my brother has a website. He exposes the Baptists. I actually have a website too, but I'm a newer believer. My brother has a website. If he was here, I've seen him do it, he would rebuke you up and down because you got so many false ways. Here's my gospel card. His website's linked on it. You need to reach out because if you don't repent, you're deceiving people. You are acting as a false teacher. You reach out to us, and my brother and I'd love to get on the phone with you and talk to you and set you straight. You see what you just did? You got behind an authority that he can't say, oh, who are you, young punk? You just said my older brother. Well, who's your older brother? Well, he's 61. He's been doing this a long time. You want to talk to him? I'll get him on the phone. You got behind somebody that will back you up, and you can go further than you could if you didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that's the way we're supposed to do it.
Yeah, and that gives you the ability to still correct. In a way, you're telling him truth, but you're not directly teaching him. You're saying, oh, no, in our body we study this, and you should contact my older brother because he would love to help you go a lot deeper, and I'd like to be involved in it too because I know this is false. See, I don't need my older brother to know what the Word of God says. False gospel, worldliness, carnality, this is not of God, sir. And you can state that. Those are facts. Just be careful. I would be careful calling them a wolf, being disrespectful to their age, being disrespectful to a function. And then he pulls rank and goes, yeah, how long you been a believer? And you go, okay. And he goes, boy, this doesn't sound right. I thought you're not supposed to be doing that. And then he makes you look foolish. Or he could. So that's why I kind of brought this up was, so when, and we'll bring another part in this topic. So when we do ministry, there's all kinds of ministry. There's online ministry. And I would say you got to be careful even online, sending emails and harshly rebuking older men and pastors. And all. I think same applies. You should be careful. If you can pass them off to somebody, you probably should pass them off. You can go do ministry, handing out gospel cards in parks. You can go to events. You can fly gospel signs. Yep, they're standing out at religious bodies like I do. I would say, as I think this all through and I see how these worldly churches are acting and I see the flesh of all these young men, I would say it's probably not the wisest thing for young novice men to go stand directly outside a religious building with a sign and kind of contend and kind of baiting the pastor to come out. Unless you are really disciplined and you're there for sheep, you could talk to other people, and if the elders or pastors or an older man that's zealous for the Baptist faith or whatever comes out, you're disciplined, and you say, look at, like, already? Sister Amma and I have talked about this. If I die, Sister Amma's not going to quit ministry. And she's off, we've talked about this, and she goes, you think I could stand outside churches? And I said, well, you absolutely could. Here's what you got to do. You stand outside churches. You talk to any women that want to talk to you. When men come up to you, you tell them your testimony and say, I did ministry with my husband for many years. My husband has a website that I keep going. I would give you this gospel card. He teaches against the Baptist faith and once saved, always saved, and Christmas and this worldliness. You should go on there and check it out because all his teachings are still up online. She could still be out there proclaiming the gospel and God's word. And if the website's still going, she could be promoting it. So you could go out to a church and stand there if you're really disciplined and you won't get goaded into arguments with older people and make yourself look bad. I think it would be wise to get a lot more street ministry under a young man's belt before he did it a lot. That's what I would tell somebody.
That or, like we did with Brother Cool.
Right.
If you have your older brother on the phone with you or something.
Yep.
You have the backing, you have the backing of your authority and you're not doing it on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And this has, I want to be clear about this. This has nothing to do with that someone's not qualified to go and do a job. They don't have the knowledge, all this stuff. I know you guys know the gospel. I know you guys can contend for the faith. I know all of that. It's like anything. When you study to be a brain surgeon, when you're out of med school and you're pretty sharp, hey, they can do brain surgery. Guess what? They don't get to do brain surgery on their own for a long time because there's lives on the line here. They work right next to somebody showing them everything to do. Well, we got spiritual souls on the line here. And so even when you know the stuff, it doesn't always mean biblically that you're ready to go do it on your own. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Does that make sense, Brother Cool?
Yeah, it does. Yep.
Yeah. So I would say you got to factor in all these things. Age, your novice status, who the person is, and get behind your authority. Yes, you can correct and point in the right direction. And then I think real quick, we should move on in the same audio. We should move on to how we do it with our voice. Let's talk about that real quick. What were we talking about, Brother Zelos?
We were talking about basically delivery and making sure that we're always calm and ordered and disciplined in our delivery and how we do it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And knowing like your voice reach, your range, so you don't try to do more than you should, and always walking in the spirit, being calm, being under control, that type of thing. All of that has to be done in order. And that's, I think that's probably another one that we should do a whole topic on. We should do a whole topic on delivery, preaching to the soul, not just the words. And we should do a whole topic on that one. But any questions on this topic or any comments about newer believers being careful around older men or men that are pastors, elders, or anybody that would be older than them in the faith that wants to contend, how to handle themselves? Any other comments or thoughts on it?
I think this is a good topic because it's one that's not talked about a whole lot. You see on like YouTube and all these places, like all these novice young Christian people coming out of the woodwork, like thinking they can teach, thinking they can rebuke. They're stepping outside of like the authority lines.
Yeah, brother, Sister Amin just said today, you go, when we used to go and we used to see some street preachers and we go look up their YouTube channel or whatever, a lot of street preachers are young guys. And I love it that young guys got zeal, but they're doing stuff they ought not to be doing. So, that, yeah, you're right about that. And it's got to be done in order. And I think that would be another good topic about how to deliver it, what we say. You can be intense. There's a time to be intense if it's the right, if you have the right authority and everything. There's a time to do that, but we have to be real careful with all of that. And I just think it's real mindful to be walking in the Spirit, to be making sure that you're within your authority, and always be looking to, and the other thing I guess I would throw in there too is even with a false teacher, the goal is still redemption. I want to talk about this real quick. The goal is we are not going out to rebuke, right? I hear a lot of guys talk about, I rebuked. That's not the goal. The goal is not to go out and rebuke people. The goal is to go out and glorify God, preach the gospel, and redeem people. Yes, rebukes have to happen. But it would be like a police officer if he got in his car and said, I can't wait to arrest somebody, can't wait to shoot somebody, can't wait to billy club or taser somebody. You'd go, ooh, that cop, he's a loose cannon. If he says, hey, I'm going out today to do my job to keep peace and order, that's what I want, peace and order. Then he's happy with that. So as preachers, we got to be saying, I want to go out, preach the gospel. I don't want trouble. I hope I don't have to rebuke anybody really bad. I want to see redemption or plant the seeds of redemption. And even on people that we're rebuking, we got to see them as souls and try to be putting things in them that the Holy Spirit can use to bring them to salvation. It's not a debate that you win and go, whew, I won that one. It's an entreating to a soul with the eternal word of God to try to bring them to salvation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think...
rebuking, correction.
Yeah, yeah. And I think street preaching can get pretty contentious, and you can forget that. You can build up your skin too thick and have your armor on too tight, where you're thinking, it's all about just the battle. I'm going to win. It is a battle, but we're trying to win souls. God wins the souls. We're trying to affect souls, and we're trying to redeem them. And the rebuke and the harsh send away is the last thing we want to have to do. We don't want to do it. We'd rather have the modern pastor walk away and go, you know what? You gave me a lot of good things to think about. Yeah, go think about that. If you don't change those things, you will lose your soul. Go think about those things. Thank you for telling me those things. That should be the goal. Not, you wolf, get out of here. That's kind of a last resort. If he's really rebellious and trampling the word of God, then he might need it in the right situation if you have the authority to do so. So think about your authority. Think about your experience. Think about the function you're going against. Think about carrying it in a tone that is God-honoring. And I'm going to say this. I'm doing a study about Jesus' words to the Pharisee. I think this will really interest everybody. The number of words Jesus used versus the number of words the Pharisees had. It's pretty interesting when you start adding it up. Because you hear this all the time. Well, Jesus listened to the Pharisees. You should listen to me. Really? Wait until you see the number of words Jesus had when he had Pharisee confrontations versus how many words they got.
Was it 10 to 1?
You're going to find out, brother. You're going to find out. So that's the goal, is to impart truth, put it out there so the Holy Spirit can convict them. Yep, if we have to, send them on their way with a rebuke and a warning to the saving of their soul, maybe. But we got to make sure we keep the right mindset through all of this.
Amen.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So I think anything else on this topic of newer believers rebuking? Again, you can give truth. You can tell them they're not right. You can get behind your authority. And you could say, you need to check this website out and my website out, links to it. And my brother has been doing this a long time, and he would tell you, no. We all know. We all study this. This is not biblical Christianity. And reach out to him. I'd love to hear you and him debate these topics. There you go. Offer them. I'd love to hear you and him get on the phone. Maybe debate's the wrong word. Discuss these topics. Reason. Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason. Yeah, come on. Let's reason in the word of God. Like the man today that told me I got 100 biblical things wrong. And I challenged him and said, give me one in front of my wife and him. And he couldn't give me one. It's not to say I don't have anything wrong, but he couldn't give me one. I said, you just gave false witness, sir. So,
yeah.
Make sure we can back up everything that we say and believe.
Yeah, maybe you want to use this, like you and I were talking about this earlier on, understanding the different levels we use when we rebuke.
Yep.
Like somebody who's like, maybe you want to talk about that a bit, the different levels that you don't rebuke everybody the same. I thought that was helpful.
Yeah, I think Brother Kua's got to get going pretty soon. I think we're going to do that. We'll do that on a separate audio sometime, right?
Sounds good.
All right, I'm going to leave this audio off. Good job, brothers. Well, this will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area. I think this will edify people. Some good general guidelines on how newer believers should carry themselves when they're doing street ministry.